Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for our song of grace. Thank you, Lord, for your precious gospel. Thank you, Lord, for this message that we continue to celebrate, that God has come, Emmanuel, God with us in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, today, as we turn to your word, we pray that you would show us Jesus high and lifted up. Let us see Jesus. Let us, through the power of your Holy Spirit, be transformed to become more like Jesus, so that you might work in us and through us that which is pleasing in your sight and that which changes the world. And so, Lord, we pray as we turn to your word, speak. Our hearts are open to listen. Make us more like Jesus today, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. And we are going to be in the book of Acts for quite some time. But Acts chapter 1, we're starting out today as we enter into this series entitled Grow and Go. And before we get into the text, I've got a little housekeeping to do. We want to live a life of faith that is more interactive. And so I really felt like this is the time for us to make the sermons more interactive. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be question and answer. We can talk later. But for right now, if you got a bulletin, you notice that there's something new inside that bulletin. There's a place for you to take notes if you're a note taker. Or if you're not a note taker, it's a place for you to doodle, okay? And that's okay, just as long as you're listening to God's word. So you can do that. On the back is a checklist for how you did this week in our first week of this Grow and Go initiative of what it means to live out the faith once for all delivered to the saints and to be a blessing to the world. Now, some of you are very tech savvy, and if you are a phone user and you have a smartphone, you can access these notes on your phone. So if you have the YouVersion app, I'm going to tell you exactly how to get to that right now. Just open up your phone, and yes, when the preacher tells you to pull your phone out in church, it's okay. You get it. It's like a doctor's note, okay? So you can open up your phone, and if you've got the YouVersion app, pull it up, and if you're at the home screen, on the bottom, you see Home, Read, Plans, and Search. Well, just click on that little More button, and it'll bring up another menu. The third item down should say Events. Click on it. If you have your location settings enabled, you'll see a map, and as it comes up, you will see First Baptist Church, Bowling Green. Click on it. Now, if you don't want the Bible app to know where you are and you don't have your location settings turned on, just search First Baptist Church, Bowling Green, and you will be able to access the live event, and you can follow along and take notes right there on your phone, and you can save those for later reference. So even if you're watching the broadcast, you can pull that up right now. Search for First Baptist Church, Bowling Green, and you will be able to follow along in the text and take notes. If you don't have the YouVersion app, but you still want to use your phone, you can look at our Twitter page, at First Baptist BG, and there's a link you can click on that will take you to it. So, we have analog and we have digital. Everybody's covered. Amen? Now we're ready to interact with the Word of our God. Isn't it great that we have a God who is so sovereign that He would give us a holy Bible that was sealed right around at the end of the first century AD, but He allows us to access it through smartphones and through the internet and through satellites and through... God is still speaking to us through His Word. Amen? Amen. Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11 today, and if you are in the Pew Bible, that is page 909. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and here's the theme for the day, and if you're taking notes, this is the top note in italics. In Christ, God has given us a ministry and a message. Remember last week we talked about that, that if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, God has called you into ministry. And He has given you a ministry. He has providentially placed you where you are so that other people might see the light of Christ in you, that they might experience the love of Christ through you, that they might see the hope of Christ that characterizes your life. I have seen the body of Christ at work this week in amazing ways. I've seen the body of Christ called First Baptist Church. I've seen you love each other this week. in a lot of different ways with various different families, even my own family, as the body of Christ has come together. I've seen the body of Christ respond to suffering this week. I've seen the body of Christ come around people who are going through hard times and love on each other. I've seen the body of Christ be there when the unthinkable happened and it could have been worse. And I've even seen the body of Christ take an unthinkable situation that could have been worse and praise God through it and use the story of this test to become their testimony that the world may see the hand of God even in hard circumstances. We bid farewell this week to one of our saints named Gomer Lesch. Gomer went home to be with Jesus yesterday morning. Gomer lived 96 years. He was a Gideon. He worked for decades at the Baptist Sunday School Board that is now called Lifeway, and he was a World War II veteran. He lived 96 years. He was active, coming to church, coming to Sunday school, even up to just a few weeks ago, had a little bit of a health concern over the last couple of weeks, and then went home to be with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I call that a life well lived. And Gomer's at home now. He's with his Lord that he served for nearly a century. He's with his wife that he loved for an entire lifetime and for whom he cared. And there's no more struggle, no more pain, no more sorrow. None of that is there. They're in perfect glory. That's why we're here. That's why we sing about Christ alone, in whom our hope is found. He is our light. He is our strength. He is our song. He is the one who holds us together, and he is the one who gives us hope that transcends time and space and what we're able to see here on earth. That's why you're here today. I hope that's why you're here. And I hope you've come expecting God to do something in your heart. I've come expecting him to do something in mine. God is faithful. And the way that God shows us his faithfulness so often is through his people. So it's been a great joy for me to get to see the body of Christ at work this week. And I believe as we grow in Christ and as we embrace this call to go and make disciples of all nations, starting here in Bowling Green and going all the way to the ends of the earth, we're going to see more and more of these moments. But first, we have to embrace the call. And here's where Jesus calls his disciples. And if you're following Christ, you are his disciple. Here's where he calls us to embrace the call. In Christ, you have been given a ministry and you have been given a message. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 at first. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. The first point is this: Jesus' earthly ministry was just the beginning of his work and teaching on earth. His ministry continues through his people in the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice what Luke the physician says as he begins this book. And remember, Acts is volume 2 of Luke's 2-volume writing. The first is the Gospel of Luke. And then this is the second volume. And he writes again to Theophilus. And there are people who wonder, is this a real person or is this just a group of people? Because Theophilus is theophile, lover of God. So, oh, lover of God, I've taken it upon myself in the power of the Holy Spirit to write an orderly account of the Acts of God's Holy Spirit as he carried out his work through the apostles. And I want to tell you first about what Jesus began to do, and that struck me. Jesus' earthly ministry was just the beginning. He came to inaugurate the kingdom of God. And when on the cross he said, "It is finished," he meant that he had finished paying the price for the redemption of humankind, that all who would come to Jesus in repentance and faith would be forgiven of their sin, cleansed of their unrighteousness, and brought near to God, whereas formerly they were separated from him. So when he said on the cross, "It is finished," he meant the work of redemption has been completed, and he gave up the Spirit. And then 3 days later, he arose from the grave and he lives today and he is alive. And he has sent us his Holy Spirit. He told his disciples, "I won't leave you as orphans, but I will come to you." And the rest of the world won't see me, but you'll see me. The rest of the world won't hear me, but you'll hear me. The rest of the world won't know me, but you will know me. And then I will do things in you that you can't fathom. How many of you have seen God move in your life in ways you never thought he could? How many of you have seen God move in your life in ways you never thought he would? And so that's part of the promise of God, is he sent the Holy Spirit. But not only will God work in you, he will work through you. And so Jesus' ministry on earth was the beginning of his ministry. His ministry continues today through us. We are the body. And there was a Casting Crowns song many years ago that said, well, if we are the body, then why aren't his hands reaching? Why aren't his feet going? Why aren't his people showing his love to the world? We are the body of Christ. We are the ones left here to carry out the ministry. And so here's the deal. If you and I fail to embrace this calling, then we are hindering the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, can we stop Jesus? No, nobody can stop Jesus. But we miss the blessing of being a part of a world-changing, eternity-altering experience in Jesus Christ. His ministry continues through his people in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to see as we study the book of Acts. If you're looking at your Bible, the title of this book is The Acts of the Apostles. But really, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. So the Gospels give us the Acts of Jesus Christ, and then we have the book of Acts, which give us the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who is continuing through God's people to carry out the ministry of Jesus. It's amazing. And he's doing it today through us. And he's called us to step in and to engage. Well, let's look at verses 4 and 5. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The second point. Since we are carrying out Jesus' ministry, we must be exceptionally attentive to his direction. That's why I say, if you ever hear me preach or say something contrary to God's word, please fire me. Because I am not here to live out my ministry. I am here to carry out the ministry of Jesus Christ for such a time as this. And he has spoken to us through his word. And this is what he has given us to be our guide. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can understand his word. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live out his word. But how many of you know that it's possible for people who feel like they're called into ministry to veer off on their own direction? Have you ever seen it happen? Does it ever end well? No. That's why, frankly, we have so many gospels that we discuss today. And if you're listening to this on a podcast, I'm doing air quotes, gospels. As we think about the health, wealth, prosperity gospel or the social gospel, they're not gospels. But what we do is we say, well, this will work for right now. This version of a gospel will sell right now. That's why I struggle so much with the prosperity gospel. You never could have sold it to Jesus. You never could have sold it to any of the original disciples. You never could have sold it to Paul. This idea that if you'll just come to Jesus, you'll never have another problem in your life. Good night. If you've been following Jesus for 20 minutes, they shouldn't be able to sell it to you. Because you know, that's not the gospel. It's not that we come to Christ so that we never are sick again or we never have struggles again or our bank account never runs a little drier than we'd like it to again. No, that's not it at all. I had a friend of mine ask me, he said, how in the world could God allow Billy Graham to deal with Parkinson's disease and cancer? Well, why not? He's a human being, just like you, just like me. And remember this is not the goal. We cling very tightly to a world that the Bible says is fading away. And when you get to heaven, you ain't wanting to come back, just to put it bluntly. I can promise you, Gomer Lesh loves every one of us, but he's good. He'll be glad when we get there to be with him. Amen? Yeah. There's nobody in heaven right now saying, oh, I wish I could just go back for a minute. I know that happens in movies, but that's not reality because we don't understand heaven if we think that's what it is. There was a country song that said every time it rained, it was because there are holes in the floor of heaven and their tears are falling down because they want to be with us now. That's the craziest idea in the world. If that's heaven, then it's not heaven. No, heaven is the presence of God, and heaven is paradise, and heaven is perfection, and heaven is rest. And the Bible says that in the context of the mind of God, 1,000 years is as a day. And so in the blink of an eye, from their perspective, in the blink of an eye, we in Christ will be there with them. And even from our perspective, how many of you had some old person, okay? And when they told you this, they were old compared to you. So how many of you had some old person who looked at you and said, you better pay attention, it's going to go quick? Were they right? On social media, they'll throw up these time hop deals or whatever, these memories. And I'm rattled by every one of them because I'm looking at them going, that's been that long? My kids are that big? And we got some college students in here. I've been out of college long enough to have 3 reunions by now. When did that happen? I looked at the seniors who are graduating high school this year, and you can subtract and have a zero at the end of the difference between 2019 and when I graduated from high school. And that kind of rattled me a little bit because I'm still very young and vibrant, right? No, I'm not. Somebody told me that last week we had some students in here who said, who's the preacher here? He said, well, is he a young guy? Well, he's young-ish, you know, not that old. So I got that going for me. But by the way, it happens to all of us, doesn't it? And it goes quickly. But if we're going to be involved in carrying out Jesus' ministry, we have to be exceptionally attentive to his direction. Because as soon as we step outside of his direction, we step outside of his blessing. And we step outside of his ministry. That's the way it works. Your ministry will not be fruitful in terms of eternal consequence if you are not living it out according to the faith once for all delivered to the saints, the faith given to us in the Holy Bible. So we have been called to ministry, we have been given a message, and we are to carry it out according to the teaching of Jesus Christ and his teaching through his word and the appropriation of the word by the Holy Spirit. Verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, before we get to the third point, I want to tell you, remember, the apostles, just like everybody else, was waiting for the coming of the Messiah to restore power to Israel. I mean, they were allowed to be in Israel. They were allowed to do their own thing to some degree, but they were under a regime called Rome. And they had a king of the Jews imposed upon them that was not a Jewish man. His name was Herod. Remember at the Christmas story when there's news that one has been born king of the Jews, what does Herod want to do? He wants to kill the kid, right? Because there's only one king of the Jews, that's me. So the people of Israel are struggling and they're awaiting the Messiah to come who would restore in their minds political power to the kingdom of Israel and take them out of the oppression of Rome. And even the disciples, evidently, as they followed Jesus for 3 years and heard his teaching up close and personal about how it wasn't about political power, it was about a power that is greater, a kingdom that is not of this world, they still didn't seem to understand. Because they're even now asking, okay, is it time now? You've died on the cross, you've risen from the grave, you've served us fish for breakfast, we've seen you eat. Is it time? Is it now? And even they didn't get it. Just like we don't sometimes. So at this time, Lord, will you restore the kingdom? Are we going back to the Israel we always read about? Are we going back to the Israel under David? Are we going back to the Israel under Solomon? And Jesus didn't even answer their question, but gave them the mission to which he was calling them for the true inauguration of his real kingdom. It wasn't about political power. It was about eternal salvation. So, if you're taking notes, the third point is this. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we are to carry Jesus' message to our city, to our region, to the places we'd rather not go, and to the ends of the earth. Now, I'm using there the pattern of Jerusalem, which is that city where they were, where God said, this is where my name shall dwell. The temple was there. Jesus was crucified just outside of Jerusalem. By the way, is Jerusalem still in the news today? Always will be. Always will be until the new Jerusalem comes down. It always will be. Why? Because God said, that's where my name will dwell forevermore. And so Jerusalem will always be contested. But he said, you're going to carry my message into Jerusalem, which is a big deal because remember, Jesus was just crucified by the populace of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was filled with people who hated Jesus' message. Jerusalem was filled with people who hated Jesus. They felt like he was a heretic. They felt like he was a blasphemer. They felt like he was Jim Jones, David Koresh, the guy who said we're all getting on the spaceship. That's the way they looked at Jesus. They were not at all friendly to his message. They had had false messiahs along the way. And they thought Jesus was just another one. And look, he's dead. And I know some of his disciples are saying he's risen from the grave. And evidently 500 people have seen him. But they didn't have any respect for Jesus' message. And the first place Jesus tells them to go is into the city that killed him. You go to Jerusalem. And then you go to all Judea. See, Judea is the area surrounding Jerusalem. So if you think Bowling Green, think Kentucky. You go to Jerusalem, and then you go to all Judea, and you carry this message. Again, Judea filled with people who don't much care for Jesus, who don't much care for the ministry of the apostles at this moment in time. They don't much care for what they're trying to do because they are continuing to proclaim the name of Jesus that is upsetting their system and tearing down their order. They don't much care for it. But then Jesus says something that probably doesn't jar you, but it had to have jarred them. He said, you're going to go to Jerusalem. That's scary enough as it is. Then you're going to spread out from Jerusalem into all Judea. Okay, what's that going to look like? I guess we'll have to see. But then you're going to go to Samaria. And they didn't want to go to Samaria. You know why? Because Jews and Samaritans hated each other. I mean, hated each other. Think about every people group conflict you've ever seen in your lifetime and multiply it by about 10. That's how they felt about each other. The Samaritans were a people who had been formed as an ethnicity after the Jews in the diaspora intermarried with Assyrians, which they were forbidden to do by the Torah law. And they created a new race of people, the Samaritans, and they developed their own Bible. They developed their own religion. They didn't worship at the temple in Jerusalem. They went and found a different mountain and worshiped there. They did things their way. And so the Jews couldn't stand them, and as a result, the Samaritans couldn't stand the Jews. And so you remember the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. Why do you, a Jew, ask for water from me, a Samaritan? That's why the parable of the Good Samaritan was so shocking in those days. And that's why Jesus used somebody that they didn't like to show, don't you dare put limits on the transformative power of the kingdom of God. You let God transform people's lives. You proclaim the truth to them. And so when Jesus said, you're going to go into Samaria, what he was saying is, you're going to go into the last place on earth you want to go. But I'm going to be a blessing through you to them. And indeed, we'll get to that as we go through Acts. We're going to see amazing, miraculous things happen in Samaria. How many of you have found that sometimes it's the places you don't want to go the most where you see God use you and bless you the most? Have you ever stepped out on a limb with God and said, Lord, I feel like you're calling me here, but I don't want to go, but I'll go? Have you ever taken that step? Have you ever had that experience? If you haven't, make 2019 the year you do, because here's what's going to happen. It will scare you to death before you go. Scare you to death before you go. Everything in you will be acting up and saying, no, 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 no. This is not what you need to do. This is not where you need to go. This is not the conversation you need to have. This is not the airplane you need to get on. This is not the work you need to be called to. But can I promise you something? If you will step out in the ministry of Jesus Christ and you will go where He is calling you to go, whether that is into a difficult conversation with somebody that you think hates Jesus, hates you, and doesn't want any part of the message, or whether that's getting on a plane and going halfway around the world on a mission trip, if you will step out, you will see God's blessing in ways you have not seen it before. And here's why. One, when you obey God, He shows up in powerful ways. It just is what it is. But the second thing is this. When you step out on the limb with God, you realize what's been true all along. He's all you have. And then you realize He's all you need. It's amazing. So, we have been called to carry this message. Whose message is it? Is it mine? Is it yours? Nope. It's Jesus' message. And we are called to carry it to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's why that beautiful water tower is going to be in our line of sight a lot this year. When you walk out the front, you can look up to your left. It's right there. Let it symbolize the people of Bowling Green that you've been placed here strategically to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Emma Cox, thank you for that beautiful piece of art, and thank you for letting us use it. It's gorgeous. But it reminds us of our mission field. And we want to reach the ends of the earth, but we know that the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. Let's look at verses 9 through 11. Watch this. And when He had said these things, as they were looking on, He was lifted up, and a cloud took Him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as He went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw Him go into heaven." The last point is this. Jesus' ministry of proclaiming the good news to the whole world will end when He returns. He's coming back. Until then, we are called to grow and go. Jesus will let us know when we've reached the finish line. Here's how you know you've reached the finish line in your ministry. You hear a trumpet in the eastern sky accompanied by a shout, and the sky rolled up as a scroll, and you see Jesus coming on a big white horse, or God takes you home to heaven at the end of your physical life here on earth. That's when your retirement begins. Until then, you are called to ministry. That's what I loved about Gomer Lesch. The man's 96 years old, still wearing his Gideon lapel pin because he's still actively serving, making sure that the Word of God gets into hotel rooms and prisons and schools and everywhere else they'll take it. He's still an active part, isn't he, O'Neill, of Sunday school, being a blessing to others. He's still posting on Facebook his nonagenarian musings. He's still being a blessing. And then God called him home. And now he can retire. Oh, that we would all have that story, that however long the Lord gives us on earth, that we would live out the ministry by living out the faith once for all delivered to the saints until the moment we take our last breath, and then we go to glory. If you're in Christ, God has given you a ministry and God has given you a message. And one of my favorite quotes from Billy Graham, a man who himself lived his ministry until he was 99 and then went home to Jesus. He said, "I've read the last page of the Bible. It's all going to turn out all right." And so it is. So we're going to have a time of response and we're going to sing hymn number 501, "Lord, Here Am I." And as we sing, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God's word. If today you know in your heart that you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have never said, Lord, I believe you made me, but I know that I've sinned and separated myself from you. You told me not to lie and I've lied. You've told me not to cheat and I've cheated. You told me not to dishonor my parents and I have dishonored my parents. You told me not to lust and I've lusted. Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner, but I believe you're the Savior. Come into my life, forgive me of my sin, cleanse me of my unrighteousness, bring me into a close relationship with you. He'll do that today. He will forgive you. Steve, he'll set us free. He'll set us free. And we'll be free indeed. Or maybe you've received Christ, but you've never taken the step of stepping into the baptistry of your own decision to proclaim your own faith that is yours inside your own heart by your own decision. To say, Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior, and I'm going to take this step of obedience to proclaim my faith through baptism. Maybe God's calling you to that today. We can help you get that scheduled. Or maybe if you are a baptized believer and it's time to join our church, it's time, and you come. So we're going to sing, Lord, here am I. And as we sing, we remember the words of the prophet Isaiah, who, when called to the ministry, responded by saying, Lord, here am I, send me. And so as we sing, may it be our prayer, Lord, here are we, send us. Will you stand with me? Let's pray. Oh, Father, we see the needs around us in our city. We see the needs around us in our commonwealth. See the needs around us in our continent. And we see the needs around us to the ends of the earth. But Lord, there is no greater need, no more pressing need, no more eternal need than the need of women and men, boys and girls, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to come into a deep and abiding and eternal relationship with God through Christ, having their sins forgiven, having their unrighteousness separated from them as far as the east is from the west, and remembered no more. And so, Lord, let us now respond. If anybody in this room needs to come to Christ, may today be the day. If anybody in this room needs to be baptized, may they make that decision today. If anybody in this room is ready to join this mission at the corner of 12th and Chestnut, where faith and life meet, may today be the day. But Lord, we pray for your will to be done in this place as it is in heaven, and that you would be glorified. Lord, here are we. Send us. Bless us as we sing, for it's in Jesus' name that we continue in worship. Amen and amen.